There was a mess up in the recorder this past week, so we're doing Parshas Mishpatim now. Top Shin Ayin Dalet. So the pasuk says in Perikop Dalet Pasuk Eight, Vayishlach is now Rebbe Yisrael Vialu Olus Vayizbuchu Shlizvachim Shlom Hashem Parim. That Moshe Rabbeinu sent out the Na'arim of Bnei Yisrael, and they brought up Olos and they shachted Zvachim, which were Korban Shlomim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which were cows. Now, who were the Na'arim? Who were these Na'arim, and what were they? So Targum Onkelos and Targum Yonos Muzio both say that they're referring to the Bechoros, meaning the firstborn, and so does Rashi. Rashi says it's a Bechoros, which is a quote from the Medrash HaGadol, the Medrash Rabbah, and the Mechilta of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbam, the Bechor Shor, the Ramban, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya all agree that it's referring to the Choros, it's referring to the firstborn, and they were the people who were the Na'arim bringing these Korbanos. And the Rabbeinu Ephraim even brings up down the Gematria for it. He says, Vayalu Olos. It's the same Gematria as 634, which is the same Gematria as Bechoros, with all the Vavs involved. So that's the idea behind it. We're talking about the firstborn. Now, why were they called Na'arim? Why were they called Na'arim over anybody else? The Ramban says, because in comparison to the Zakanim mentioned earlier, they were much younger. It wasn't because of their wisdom and their accomplishments that allowed them to become leaders, but rather because they were Kadosh as firstborns. Rav Avadya ibn Bar Tinua tries connecting it from Hosea, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and saying that that's the reason why they're called that way. But there's a second chat. He says, in Shot, says the Ramban. These people were special people who were so great that they had never tasted sin before, and they had never really touched a woman. They had not gotten married or anything like that, and they had been Kadosh their entire lives. Because of that, they were known as Na'arim, as special people, and that's the reason why they were called Na'arim over everything else, to show us what kind of people they were. So number one, we could say that they were just firstborns. They were known as Na'arim because in comparison to the Zakanim, they were younger. Or number two, they were actual Na'arim, as in special people, special holy people that had this ability to be this way. Lekach Tov, Medrash Lekach Tov says it really refers to the Zakanim themselves. They're called the Na'arim, not because they were young, but because they were Na'arim d'mitzos, very alert, the word Na'ur, and Midaktek and everything they did. Yoshua ben Nun is called the Na'ar when he's almost 60 years old. This seems to be corroborated by the Gemara Megillah Daf Tes that says when Ptolemy brought 72 elders to rewrite the Torah into Greek, and Testaves, one of the things that they changed was Na'are into Zatute, which is a lesson of Chashivos. They didn't lie. They gave them a better name. That was the idea, and that was the Zakanim themselves. Now, that doesn't argue necessarily with the fact that they were Bechoros. The Lekach Tov still could say that it's the Bechoros that were Zakanim, but the point is that it wasn't young people. Rather, it was Zakanim that were Na'arim b'mitzos and how they did certain things. But there's another way to look at it. The parties Yosef says that Ptolemy's assumption was that an older, more established person considered that are chashuv in the eyes of Hashem, and those were the people who would end up bringing korbanos. But the truth is, we want the people bringing korbanos to be younger, between the ages of 30 and 50, since they have the proper faculties to do so. They're willing to be moser themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though they have so many taivas and reasons to do otherwise. Meaning, the people who brought korbanos would not have been people of the age of Rav Chaim Kanievsky or of Aaron Lipshainen. That as great and unbelievable as those Gidolim are, those are not the people we want serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe was hinting to us that those who are proper to serve in the Beis HaMikdash are those who are willing to act as Na'arim and also have the abilities to act as Na'arim. The Sfas Emet speaks about this. Even though normally firstborns are the oldest in the family, not the youngest, they're the oldest. But they have to have a koach hayischadshus. They have to be special and feel like they're doing something great for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why why we're described as a Bechor as well. When it says, B'ni Bechori Yisrael, my son, my firstborn Yisrael. We care so much and we do things out of love and newness that allows great things to happen, that we're constantly davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Chassam Sofer gives another reason why we're called this. Because on that day, they were like a brand new baby. Gershon is Garki Katan Shinola Dummy. And that means they were all Mizgayer specifically on that day. Now, remember, their process is to becoming Ger. Nowadays, what we end up doing is we have the Bris Mila, we have the Tevila, we have Kabbalah Samitzos. But back in the day, you needed to bring a Korban. On that day, when they brought the Korban, that was their Gerus. They were all given freedom from the Yitzhar at that moment, and the Saltos. They may have been older people, but they were born on that day, and they assumed, because up until this point, this is what was supposed to be true, that they were going to live forever. See the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Hei Amud Beis. That was the reason why they were able to switch around the word, because it really was older, more established people who were considered Na'arim. That's the concept over here, and that's and the reason why they're called Na'arim over anything else. But that's the pshat. They were all Megayer on that day specifically. Now, the Ibn Ezra, seemingly in a play on words, says that these are Bahurim B'nei HaZakanim, not Bachoros, but Bachurim, young men, the sons of the Zakenim mentioned earlier. The Chizkuni says it was specifically younger people who needed to have chinuch to learn what to do. It could be they were even Kohanim. It could be, according to the Chizkuni, that it's referring to the young Kohanim. But again, no Raya. It could have been the Bachoros as well. The Rosh has the same issue and says that Nar refers not to a youth, but to a helper and a messenger. And that's what Nar is, like by Eliezer or Yoshua and Eliezer, and by Elisha, Yoshua ben Nun, or Eliezer and Yishmael by Avram Avinu. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that's the way to combine the pshatim. He says that a mesharis is a nar, and that's what the Bechoros were called, that they were considered mesorsim, na'arim, people that were in charge. That's the idea behind it. Now in Zvachim, Kupta Zvachim Vez, the Gemara brings down from Rav Asi, that korvu upasku, that they brought a korban and then they stopped. Now the truth is that in the Gemara over there in Zvachim, if you look it up, the word korvu is written in parentheses. Korvu upasku, there are two pshatim brought by Rashi. Number one, that day was the last day that they served. They brought the korban, and then they stopped. After the Torah was given, they knew that the Avodah had to be given over to the Kohanim, and Nadav and Abihu served until the Mishkan was set up, and they died, and then Elazar and Itamar and Aaron were the people that did it. Now, there's a different... That's the first idea over here, and there's a... That's the first concept, that there were korvu upasku. But the second shot in Rashi takes out the word korvu. They never served in the Beis HaMikdash. They were pasku. The trup over here has to be read differently, and there has to be an asnachta instead of a zakif katon. It has to be read that they brought the korbanos close for the kohanim to take them and sacrifice them. But it was the kohanim that did it. Then Aaron were just helpers. That's all they were doing. The Ravina Bachai explains, based on the Gemara and Krisus Daf Tes, that the purpose of bringing these korbanos, as we said above, was to allow them to become Jewish. You need a mila, tevila, artzos, dam. They already had the first two in Egypt. Now they were doing the korban necessary for gerus, which we mentioned up above, right, of what that was. The Yalkut Ruveni adds on that they were scared to go into the desert, a place of desolation and destruction, since they were afraid for Midas Adin, right, and this is a very strange shot, but they were scared to go into the desert. It was a place of destruction, since they were afraid of Midas Adin, which is represented by the shore on the Kiseh Kavod, like we mentioned before. They specifically brought Purim, cows. Why would they bring the Korbanos? So the Medrash tells us about Midbar Rabbah, Perek Dalet Halacha Ches, that before the Mishkan was built, the Avodah was always done by the firstborn. That was the minhag all the way back from the times of Adam Rishon, and obviously Cain. Cain was the firstborn, and then it was given over to the Kohanim. We see this by Esav, that Yaakov, you know, specifically bought the Bechorah from Esav. Mizrahi says, Rabbi Leo Mizrahi says, they lost it by the Egel Azov, which seems to argue on the Midbar Rabbah that it happened, you know, that it was given over and that there was a minhag, right, up until this point. But that's based on Rashi's, meaning Rashi says in Bamidbor Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, and Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and in Devarim Yud, Pasuk Ches, that the Ego Azov is what gave the Bechoros away, that they no longer had the Avoda anymore, that it was taken away from them. The problem is, it seems to be like no other opinion of the Gemara. Brings down Rebbe and Rebbe Shulman Korko, whether they lost it in Har Sinai or the Mishkan. I mean, it's clear, but it could be that it's an easy answer, right? That if you look up the Gemara, right, it means like this. It was decided at Har Sinai that what was going to be at the Egel, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew about, would be finalized when the Mishkan was set up. So maybe there's no machlokas Rebbe Shulman Korcha, and even this idea of the Mizrahi or Rashi over here, meaning again, it was the Egel Azov that allowed the Bechoros to lose their Avoda and no longer serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, Rebbe and Rebbe Yoshua ben Korcha both say that it was at Har Sinai where it was decided the Kohanim would be there, and it was at the Mishkan where it was actualized, and that's the idea behind it. The Gurari asked on all this, and he explains a lot over here as well, because he asks, what's the purpose of Parshas Tetzaveh? According to the opinions that say the Parshas Tetzaveh was said before Matan Torah, meaning before Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, then what's the point of Parshas Tetzaveh and the clothing of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim? It must be that they were always, Aaron and his sons were always chosen to be Kohanim. The firstborn were always supposed to be helpers, similar to the Levium, that they never were supposed to be on the level of Kedusha attained by the Kohanim. That was never given to them. They were never on the level to serve in the Mishkan or the Beis Mikdash. That was never attained by them nor taken by them. They never had it. That's the idea behind what Aaron and the Kohanim were supposed to be after the Mishkan was made. That's what they were supposed to do. The Rabbeinu Meyuchas said they got a special Kiddusha when they left Mitzrayim to allow them to serve and to bring Korbanos aside from their proper minhag. But And that's the idea from the Gur Aryeh. It's a long Gur Aryeh and well looking up. Now, the following is written in the Miyam Lewis, although this has nothing to do with the Ari B'nai Yisrael, but the other Midrashim, including the Yaakov Ravani, bring this down. There's some stuff that we added on to over here, but it goes like this. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go up the mountain. The cloud came close to him, and he wasn't sure if he was supposed to climb it or grab onto it with his hand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a door for him to enter, or the cloud opened up its mouth, and he walked in the air as if it was the ground. Now, again, we don't understand what any of this means. We don't understand what it means to have a physical idea of something like this, but nonetheless, this is how it's described. He met a malach there by the name of Kamu. Now, we don't say the full name of the malach there. Rizal says that we don't say full names of malachim, that we don't use as names for different people in Olam Hazeh. It's for different reasons. One of the reasons why is because it's sort of like you're being mashpia them and telling them to come down to you, but we'll say the name of this malach was named Kamu. The last part of the name was El, who was in charge of 12,000 malachim Kabbalah that stood around the entrances of the Rekia. And he yelled to them, he said, Ben Aram, yelled to Avram, to Moshe Rabbeinu. It said, Ben Amram, Ma'atam Vakesh Kan B'makum Shom Malachei Eish. What are you doing over here in a place, right, where there's Malachei Eish, where we belong over here and nothing else? So he said, Moshe answered quietly that he was sent to receive the Torah. In other words, this is what I was doing over here, and I got Rishus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. But he couldn't get by until after he had used the 12-letter shame. There are other midrashim that say that he hit them with a massive hit, and they all backed off 12,000 parsos out of fear. See, whatever happened, Moshe ended up kept walking with his eyes burning like fire until he met a bigger malach that was 10,600,000 parsos from the first. Every word was 12,000 bolts of fire. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to jump out of the cloud out of fear when he saw this malach. It's possible that this is the malach known as Sandal, but regardless, the malach yelled at him the same thing that Kamu did. What are you doing up here, Moshe Rabbeinu? How could you be here? Moshe Rabbeinu got confused. He couldn't talk. He started to cry, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say the 72-letter shame that he had learned by Har Sinai and told him not to be scared. The malach then told him, Baruch Boach HaMoshe, Sheniglo Kol Mashalon, Niglo LaMalachim. Blessed are your coming, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was revealed to you that which was not revealed to any the other malach, and he then became Moshe Rabbeinu's shaliach. The next malach that he met was further along the way, and it seems that this is either Sandal, who we mentioned up above, or Akasri, the last part of the name was El, who is 500 years away, whose job it is to accept B'nai Yisrael's tefillos and mitzvos and makes them into crowns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All while the other angels are calling out loud their Shira and singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod Hashem Minkomo. Once the crown hits the Kisei HaKavod that they had made out of the mitzvahs, then it says Baruch Kavod. The Malach helping Moshe had to move away, for he was afraid of being burned by this Malach, which is much greater than them. That's why we have to ask Rishus, or they have to ask Rishus from one another in order to say Kiddusha. Again, Moshe started to cry, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to pass by, because of course, I mean, this is scary for anybody around here. But this is what ended up happening over here. So it goes like this. He then met the Malach of Nahar Dinor, right, after he got by the Malach of Akasri, or whichever one this was. But he got over to Nahar Dinor, who's known as Rigayon, which is formed by the fire that escapes the mouths of the Arba Chayos that surround the Kisei HaKavod when they're afraid and they tremble with their sweat coming down, that fire forms through. The coals of the river rained down into the heads of the Rishayim of Gehenim. The Malach then dip into this river before being allowed to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to sing Shira. He then met the Malach Raziel, who's also known as Galei Tzur, the revealer of secrets, revealer of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, who hears the Gezeres of Hashem and implements them. He stands, this is Raziel, he stands before the throne and his wings are spread to be makabel the hevel of the mouths of all the Chayos HaKadosh, so their fire doesn't burn the other Malachim. He then takes a pan full of coals from this river, so to speak, and places one by each of the kings in this world, that people show fear to them and be afraid of them. Yonavi greets these words, the words said by Raziel at Har Chorev and Har Sinai, gives them over to the people. Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to go all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, past Raziel, all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, where a huge army of Malachim that wanted to destroy him were standing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to answer up their claims. He asked them, number one, have you all worked in Mitzrayim? Do you have idols? Do you have parents? Do you have work, etc.? Since you don't have work, since you don't have any of these things, how could the Aseret Dibros, how could any of the Torah apply to you? Now, they were motivated to his claim, and that takes a lot of work. What exactly that they declined Taina in the first place. They wanted the Sodos of Torah, not the Pshat. Regardless, but after they were motivated to his claims, they each gave him a gift and a refuah that can be used through their own names. For example, the Sultan told him the secret behind the Ketores, that it is the ability to stop a plague of depth that the Satan is involved with. Moshe Rabbeinu then learned every level of Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, and how to use it all, but forgot it all in the end, and had to be given it as a gift from the Malach known as Yaf Yafi, right, who is known as the Malach that was in charge of Moshe Rabbeinu's teachings. And Moshe Rabbeinu thus learned how to do everything. This is a medrash that's brought down by the Miyam Loez, as well as other medrashim, the Yaakov Ruveni, and the Seder Adoros, and the Sefer Yasher. But that's what ended up happening when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim. Shkoach, have a good Shabbos.